We are in the book of Revelation. We're in the second chapter. But before we get to the second chapter, let's go back to the first. And please don't be looking at your notes. Please don't be looking at your Bible. I want you looking at straight at me. Straight at me. Because we need to understand. Now, the first chapter is about what? What specifically, not generally, what specifically could you say this is what the first chapter is about? It's about the glorified Son of God. Now, what's important about that? What's important about the first chapter being about the glorified Son of God? What's important about that? Okay, well, that's okay. Look, I'm going to help you. You know that. I'm just asking to see where I need to go to help. It seems like everywhere. The very first verse tells you that. It says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was given unto him by a three-letter word, starts with a G, by God. So if it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ, that, what that means to us is one day Christ is going to be revealed. How many of you have seen Christ? Raise your hand. I didn't think that hand would go up because we have not seen him physically. No man hath seen God and lived. But God made it so that we could see him and live. You remember I gave you that illustration about the sun that morning? My wife and I were sitting there, and all of a sudden she said, "Oh, honey, look at the sun." And it was just blood red. And I could go outside and I could just stare at it. And it didn't bother me in the least. But soon the redness had gone, and it was in its full strength, and I guarantee you I couldn't have stood there and stared at it. Well, that's what this is. God hath made it possible that man can see him through his Son.
Amen.
And in that time is now. The sun is red now, and you can see now. He says, seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I may be near. What does that tell you? Well, that tells you this. There's coming a time when you won't be able to seek him. There's coming a time when you won't be able to hear him. The sun will be in his full strength, and you won't be able to look on him, because now he'll be God again. And that's who's coming. Folks, listen, a suffering servant's not coming. A baby in a manger's not coming. A man who would allow the Romans and the Jews to take him captive and beat him and mock him and put thorns on his head is not coming. The glorified Son of God's coming.
Right.
The King of Kings coming. The Judge of all the earth's coming.
Right.
That's who's coming. We better get that through our heads. I've never been so ashamed in all my life as I was this last week, what went on at our White House. And if it seems like I'm angry, bless God, I am angry. When they can bring out a cross and a transgender can get on it and mock the Lord Jesus Christ, I was like the apostles. I said, "Lord, let me call down fire on heaven, from heaven." But he said, "No. No, they can look on me now. Oh, they can mock me. I'll feel safe."
Sure.
Maybe y'all ain't getting that.
Yeah.
They better be glad I'm not God. They'd be dead right now. They'd be in hell right now. But God's so gracious.
Yeah.
He will forgive them. now. If they call on him, you'll hear them. But folks, the time's coming. Remember in verse 8, one way he saw the Lord was in as the sun in its full strength. You won't look on him then.
That's right.
Because you wouldn't look on him now. So that's what's going on in the first chapter. He's showing us who's coming. Mm-hmm. Listen, if we don't understand he's coming, the chapters 2 and 3 of the church age won't matter, and chapters 4 through 22 of the future won't matter, because we don't see him.
That's right.
So he says, this is who I want you to see. The glorified Son of God coming. Listen, that's great news for the church. That's bad news for the lost. But that's how it is. Remember when they eat the word? Remember the two things that happened? You remember that? What was it? Oh, it was sweet in his mouth. Well, folks, if you don't see the coming of Christ sweet as a child of God, there's something wrong.
Right.
I got a text the other day, said, what was it? Something about just enjoying the word of God. Let's see, I wish I could remember what that was. Somebody sent it to me.
Feasting.
Feasting. I believe that's what, did they send you one too?
I sent it to you.
Oh. Well, I knew I'd seen it. By the way, Rhonda, help me, Rhonda. It's so good to see you. So good to see you. So good to see you. I saw you hiding back there, but you can't hide long. Yeah, who's here can't hide over, too. But that's what it ought to be about. But the other side is, it's going to be bitter. Mm-hmm. Folks, if we've got loved ones that are lost, there ought to be a bitterness in us. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a bitterness where we talk bad. I'm talking about a bitterness in here. Y'all been sick at your stomach, haven't you? My guess, there's nothing worse to me than being sick at your stomach. You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to move. You don't want to talk. You don't want to do anything. Well, that's how it ought to be. And the Son of God is coming. That's what he's saying.
That's right.
But then there's that verse. And if somebody raise your hand, tell me the verse. God wants to tell me what it says. Wants to tell me the verse. Chapter 1 and verse 19. And it breaks it all down for you. Write those things which thou hast seen. And we just told you what that was. The glory. Listen, if you don't see him first, now the rest will matter. He says, so write those things which thou hast seen and the things which are. And we said that was the churches, the church age. Remember I told you they were both literal and symbolic. They're literal churches. Yet they're symbolic of the church age. The period of time called the Gentile times. That time when grace was given at Pentecost. And that time where grace will end for the Gentiles. That's the church age. And that's what chapters 2 and 3 is all about. And then he says, and those things which must shortly come to pass. That's chapters 4 through 22. And that deals with Israel. And Israel alone. The church is not in there. The church is gone. That's why chapters 2 and 3 come before chapter 4. You know, they're gone. Now it's dealing with the remnant of Israel. It's all through the Old Testament. He talks about redeeming Israel. It's not going to be an easy redemption either, folks. You'll see it as we go through there. Boy, redeeming them is like redeeming them through fire. But he's going to redeem them.
That's right.
Period. Because he's God, and that's what he says. So that's the idea. Now, in chapter 2, we begin the church age, and the very first one was?
Ephesus.
That's right, Ephesus. And Ephesus, they had great commendations, didn't they? I mean, remember I gave you, they had a great list of assets. assets. You know, assets are always on the left. Liabilities are always on the right. Remember? You know, as they told us in our accounting in college, you know, assets on the left, liabilities on the right. So that's how you do it. And so he gave all this litany of assets. He commends them for all these things. But remember, I told you something. What did I tell you? I told you this, that then he puts up one liability that negates all the assets and made them. Well, what are you when you've got more liabilities than assets? Susie, tell them. You're bankrupt. You are broke. You have nothing. And remember, that's what he said in Corinthians chapter 13. I went back and I told you, if you have not love, you are nothing. Nothing. Well, what? Somebody tell me what nothing is. Jethro knew. Huh? Naught from naught. That's nothing. If you have naught and you have naught, you have nothing. Well, he says, if you don't have love, bless God, you're naught from naught. You might go through all emotions. You may come to church and you may look good. You may do a lot of great works, as Lynn was telling me about, a way he remembered it. You may do a lot of that. And you may be seeking, how can I do more? But if you don't have love first, you know what's going to happen? Everything you do over here that you think's building up, the Bible says it'll be like fire.
That's right.
And it'll be consumed because it's
nothing.
Thank you. It's nothing. And that's why he introduces Christ. Listen, if you don't have Christ here, inside, if you don't have Christ in here, you're bankrupt. It won't matter what religious things you do. It won't matter how good people talk about you. I'll give you a good example. I don't know if y'all saw this. This was maybe 3 weeks ago. I'm going to say that. Don't hold me to that. My wife, she reads the obituaries every morning. I don't know if she's trying to find out if I'm in there or not. Sometimes I don't know where I'm at, so she's trying to find out if I'm in there. But she was reading these obituaries. And she said, I've never seen anything like that. And I said, what? She says, all it talks about is what this lady has done. She had one thing right after another where she had been the head of this and the head of this and the head of this and the head of, I mean, that thing was that long. I'm not lying, it was that long. Of every good thing that she had done, every high office she had held, I mean, it went on and on and on and on. But when I got to looking at it, I saw something different. Right over here to the right. You remember what the right is? Was a little black lady. And she too had a list of things. And every single one of them was about the Lord. And I thought, what a contrast. Mm-hmm. Over here is the world's way of saying you're something. And over here is the world saying, God says you're something.
That's right.
This lady was highly educated. This lady was highly saved. That's what it's all about, folks.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. And so he says, I want you to think of these. And so the church in Ephesus, they had all these commendations. They'd done all these things by the one who said two words. By the one who said, I know. I know. Boy, I wish we'd get that in our hearts and minds. It'd change how we live, folks. When to know that God knows your next thought. You say, well, I ain't had it yet. He already knows it. He's not learning. He's knowing. He says, I know. And he lists all these good things. But he says, but I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Oh, to God. Liberty Fellowship never hears that. Oh, to God. That Liberty Fellowship never sits on their laurels with all their good works. And hear God say, you've left your first love. You're doing it for all the wrong reasons. You've forgotten. Remember, he tells them, remember. Remember. Therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. The same word, remember I told you, is the same word in Galatians where he says, he's warning them. He says, for thou art fallen from grace. The same word. Why does he tell them to remember from whence they have fallen? Why does he tell them that? What does he mean? Well, what was the problem? The problem was they had left their first love. File that now. You're going. It's not dead. It's coming again. Thou hast left thy first works. Well, then what did he tell them to do? Go back and do the first works. Well, I don't know about you, but that sort of says to me, you better go back to the beginning. You missed something back there at the beginning, my friend. You went straight to works and forgot the first part. Because you've left love. Folks, if you can't see this country in that shape, you're not looking. A country that in no doubt in my mind and in anybody's mind with any sense at all, God made this nation great because this nation honored God and the Word of God and the law of God and the commands of God. But now, we've left that. We don't love his word. We don't love his way. We don't love him. Well, what does he say? Oh, if you don't repent, here's what I'll do. I'll remove the candlestick from out of its place. You won't have light. You can't tell me. You can't tell me with a straight face that this country was not a light to the world. This was the country that every country that needed help come to. This was the country that every country that needed help relied on. Because we had a light. We had a beacon. We had a hope. We had a way of life that everyone wanted. But we've left that. And the light will be gone, folks. Mm-hmm. You say, well, Tom, it ain't talking about the country. It's talking about the church. Oh, well. Where was the church at? Oh, thank you. It was in a place. Well, how brightly is Ephesus shining today? Anybody checked on Ephesus today? Are they shining? Oh, I got news for you. The archaeologists are trying to find Ephesus. God meant what he said, folks. When he says, if you don't repent, I'll come take the light out. Well, he didn't just take the light out of the church, bless God. He took the light out of the city and everything around it. It's gone. A church that 40 years earlier, go read it in Acts if you don't believe me. 40 years earlier, they were commended for their love. Read the book of Ephesians. They were commended for their love, not just for God, but for one another and for other churches. Boy, they were giving. They'd give to other churches that needed help. They loved. But they forgot something. They forgot the wolves had come. And they started listening to the wolves. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Just this week. Two churches that that was brought to my attention. One I saw myself, one someone else saw. The one I saw was the Presbyterian Church of Brownsville, Texas. I happened to click on it. There stood the lady giving the message with the LGBTQ+ banner around her neck. Her message was from Romans. She spoke about grace and how we don't earn God's grace. God just gives us grace. It was sort of true. That's what they do, folks. The wolves bring in something that's sort of true and sounds good. But you know what she didn't mention in that whole 25-minute message that I listened to? Is all I could do, too. I listened. You know the one thing that she never mentioned? Oh, come on. You didn't see it, but you surely know what the very one thing that she didn't mention, Dwayne. Sin. Well, if you don't have sin, where's grace? You don't need grace. If you can live any way you want to and just tell God, I'm going to live this way, bless God, and you just have to give me grace. Well, I got news for you. That won't work.
That's right.
And I don't say that judgmentally. I don't judge that church. I don't judge people. I don't. But I'll tell you one thing. They're going to get judged by the judge of all the earth. And the last time I checked, it says the judge of all the earth shall do right. Well, right means according to his word. His word's not changing. They can change all the messages they want to. I thought, well, that's in the Presbyterian Church. You know, they've got two Presbyterians now. They've got the USA and the, PSA, whatever it is. USA and PSA and two of them. One believes one thing, one believes another. One allows one thing, one don't allow another. You know, who knows? I mean, when you go into the church, do they give you a little... What's that thing we give out here? Bulletin that says, this is what we are and this is what we believe. Why not? No, because they've got a steeple outside. They're a church. You know, and we're religious and this is, we go by the Bible. But the second one was brought to my attention by my brother Dave. He sent me a text and it was in Greenville, South Carolina. And it was the First Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina. And it said this, come join us all month as we celebrate our LGBTQ+ community. You say, Tom, why do you hate on LGBTQ? I don't hate on them. God's going to hate on them. See, that's why I bring it up. I don't want them to face God's wrath. That's why I bring up sin. I don't want people to be lost and face God's wrath. Right. It doesn't matter if you're gay or hetero or in a row or bi or whatever they call it now. I don't even know. I'm so confused anymore, don't know. But you know who's not confused? God's not confused, folks.
Right.
Male and female made him. And they can try to change it all they want. I got news for them, and I don't say, listen, I'm not laughing because I'm trying to be funny. I wish you knew what's going on inside me over this. I care, but I hate it. Man, I'm telling you, I hate it with a passion. Because they're trying to outsteal our children. I've never seen such an assault on children. I mean, when you start telling a 3 and 4 year old about what kind of gender they you know, just choose your gender. Some of them now that say, we're having a child, they say, what is it? Well, we're going to wait and let them choose. I mean, how stupid is this? When I was growing up, you didn't even want to know what it was. You wanted to be surprised whether it's a boy or a girl. Right, Susie? I hate to say it, honey, but you was back in my generation. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. And now they've got these reveals. You know, they've got pink for one and blue for another. And you bust a balloon and out comes a color. And then, oh, it's a boy. Well, what are you going to do now? What's going to be in the balloon now? I can tell you. Boop, there goes the balloon. I don't know. Folks, I'm telling you, we're in serious, serious trouble. But God knew he was in serious trouble a long time ago. So anyway, I'm moving on now. I know y'all think I'm on the roll, but I'm getting there. So then we come to the church at Smyrna. Now, Smyrna is only 4 verses here, this church letter. It's only 4 verses. You think, well, boy, we'd be out here in 5 minutes. If you think I can be out of anything in 5 minutes, you don't know me. But we get an understanding of the letter to the church at Smyrna from the history of Smyrna. Now, if you'll notice, I don't get into that. Now, I know Nick likes history, and I'm glad he does. And he can teach me some history sometime. I'll listen to it. You know, but I don't get into a lot of history. If you remember, I didn't tell you anything about the city of Ephesus. I didn't mention it. Because the city of Ephesus wasn't about the city. It was about the church. But you could, but here in Smyrna, it's different. You learn about the church in Smyrna and the message to the church in Smyrna by the history of the city. So he says, write to the angel of the church at Smyrna. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. The city of Smyrna, by all records that man has, and I'll preference what I'm going to say this morning. Listen, if it come out of God's word, I'd tell you, hey, you can book on it. But I'm getting this from man's history. Now, man can make fault, man can make mistakes. God don't make mistakes. But what I'm going to give you, as far as we know, this is the history of Smyrna. It started about 3000 BC. What they call the Archaic period. And it went in and out, and it was destroyed twice. The second time it was destroyed by Darius the Persian. Y'all remember Darius? You've read about him in the book of Daniel. You know, Darius the Third destroyed the city of Smyrna. Burn it down. It's gone. But in 280 BC, the Persian Empire had been conquered by, in Daniel, remember who conquered the Persian Empire? Everybody's looking down like they got it in their notes. You ain't got that in your notes. There ain't no need to look down. Look at me. I'll tell you if you don't know. Well, no, that was the Medes and Persians. Well, I tell you what, you're doing good, son, but that's before then. See, but that's good. I'm glad you're trying. You're trying. No, Alexander the Great, you remember him? The Greek Empire. He came along and destroyed them. But guess what he did? He built it back. He built back the city of Smyrna. And it thrived until the Roman Empire. And then the city of Smyrna, which was actually a suburb of Ephesus. And so during that period, the little church And the people that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ were brutalized by the Romans and by the Jews. Here's how it says it. He says, I know thy works. Isn't it good that God knows your works? But as you learn from Ephesus, he knows why you're doing the works. If you're doing them for the wrong reason, he don't give you credit. But here he's giving them credit. He says, I know your works and your tribulations. Now give me another word for tribulations, a synonym for tribulation. Huh? See what? Do you see why she's my assistant? She is one of the sharpest knives in the drawer. Sharpened every morning, so it just gets that thing sharp. It means trouble. Well, it actually means this: pressure. You know, we can feel pressure from a lot of places, can't we? We can be troubled by a lot of things. Little Brenda, you know what causes her a headache? The body is made so that when she's starting to have pain in her neck, the muscles try to absorb that and to stop that, and they get like this, and they start getting tighter and tighter, trying to fight that pain. Well, you know what that causes? Tension. And you know what causes tension? Anybody ever said, I've got a tension headache? Those muscles get so locked. I'll give you another good example. I have an inhaler now that I have to take every day. And so I noticed after I started taking it, at night, my calves and my feet, they just lock. I mean, sometimes I scream out and jump out of bed. And my little bride, she knows what it is now. So, but once I get up, you know, and stand up, it goes away. And then I lay back down. So I saw my doctor this week. And I said, Doctor, she said, you got any concerns? I said, well, not really. I said, but I do have this one. I said, at night, my calves and my feet, they just cramp so bad. They hurt so bad. She says, that's your medicine. I said, what medicine? She said, that's that inhaler you're taking. I said, well, I guess I'll have to put up the cramps because I can't live without that inhaler. So, you know, I don't think the cramps will kill me, but if I don't take that inhaler, I may not do it too long. So, anyway, you know, if you take one thing, it's another. It's trouble. Men's days are few and full of trouble. We have uncles that we love that pass away. We have sisters in Christ that we love that is having issues, health issues. It's trouble. Ourselves are troubled about things. But here, their trouble is because they're standing for Christ. Mm-hmm. We're not troubled for that yet, folks. Oh, it's coming. Just ask Canada. It'll move down here pretty soon. Hey, illegal immigrants aren't the only thing that comes across the border. It'll be down here pretty soon. There, hey, if you're a Christian up there, son, you got trouble. I mean, they're coming after you. And it won't be long. I don't know. Y'all don't watch this stuff? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't keep. Does anybody keep up with social media anymore? I mean, come on, folks. We're in the modern day. Do you know that if you say anything against what went on at the White House, you're a homophobic. You're a hate monger. I'm telling you what they say. Well, I'm glad I am.
I was called one this week.
Huh? Good for you, honey. Good for you. You have a clue what you're saying. They don't. Good for you. I'm just telling you it's coming. But it had come to Smyrna. Let me give you an example. It says not only that he knew their works and their tribulation or their troubles or their pressure. He says, and your poverty. Well, it's talking about literal poverty. It's not talking about spiritual poverty. It's talking about literal poverty. And here's the reason why. If you confessed Christ, you were out of the guilds. Well, everybody knows the guilds is today's modern day unions. And if you weren't in that, you didn't get work. You could not own property. The Roman government would confiscate your property. So here you are, you got no place to live. You can't earn a living, and you can't get food. Well, I'd say that's in the beggar. I forgot to tell you what poverty means in the Greek. It means to be a beggar. Folks, they had to beg at times to make it. So people looked at them as being poor, impoverished. But all the first and the last. Glory. He that was dead and is alive. He that knows everything. He that knows their tribulations. He that knows their works. He that saw and knew their poverty said, but you're rich. You know, those around you might say you're, what was they said, honey?
Petty.
Let them call you whatever they want to call you. Let God call you his child and faithful to his word.
Amen.
That's what will count. Lay up for thyself treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves don't enter in and steal. So if they want to say you're just a poor thing down here, say hallelujah, but I'm a rich thing up there.
That's right. Amen.
That's all that counts, he says. And he says, not only this, I know them that say they are Jews. I know the blasphemy of them. Listen, when God calls it blasphemy, it's serious stuff, folks.
That's right.
I know the blasphemy, he says, of them that call themselves Jews. Does anybody remember in Romans, a verse in Romans that would help us there? Well, I'll give it to you. He says, they are not a Jew, which is a Jew outwardly, but they that are a Jew inwardly. He says, circumcision is not that which is physical. I mean, anybody can perform that, right? I mean, any qualified surgeon or whatever could perform circumcision, right? So anybody could get circumcised, right? But he says, no, it's not the outward circumcision, but it's the circumcision of the... Well, folks, last time I checked, I don't know, but one can do that.
That's right.
You know, circumcision was just a way to identify. Hey, Jews did it because it identified them as Jews. Well, when God does it, he identifies you as his. And no one else can make you his. He's the only one can do that. And he says, listen, I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews. But he says they're the synagogue of Satan. I didn't say that. God said that. Well, if I could give you an old term we had in Irwin, it sort of says that. My mom used to say, don't you be running around with the devil's crowd. Well, if you don't think that's what it means, Susie, I see that bewildered look on your face. If you don't think that means, he says the word congregation there, it's the same as a crowd, a gathering. We're a congregation. We're a group. Well, if he says you're of the synagogue, that's what synagogue is. It's a gathering. It's a group. It's a congregation. He says, bless God, you're Satan's crowd. Well, that's not me saying that. The first and the last said that.
Right. Yeah.
He which was dead and is alive says that. Mm-hmm. He which knows everything says that. Well, if he says that, I guess the best thing for you to do is get out of that crowd.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you get in a crowd and, you know, they say you can run with the wrong crowd. That's true. You know, sometimes we children of God catch ourselves in the wrong crowd. Mm-hmm. Well, difference between us and them, we got somebody on the inside says something, if you don't get out of this crowd, I'll get you out.
That's right.
I've given you this illustration 1,000 times. I'll give it to you again because y'all don't ever remember anything. I could ask you again next week. There wouldn't be a soul say anything. God, this ain't nobody in here got children.
Y'all got children.
I got children.
They just grown.
Huh? That's the idea. Honey. They ain't children anymore. They's adults. I was wanting somebody with a child. Listen. You got children? That's right, you do, don't you? Two precious little things. Ellie and Addie. Yeah. You thought I didn't know that. Well, let me ask you something. You go out your front door one day. I don't know if there's a main road. Yeah, there is, right there where you live. You're up on a hill. And those two little precious girls that you love are down there in the middle of the road playing. And traffic just... And they're just playing away. And you come out and say, now, sweethearts, you get out of that road, you're going to get hurt. Honey, come out. Ellie, you Addie, you get out there. No. Like she told me about that cookie this morning. I said, can I have a cookie? She said, no, that's mine. Well, and I can just see Nick now. Well, you better get out of that road, you're going to get hurt. Go back in the house, sit back down in his recliner. Tell him, son. Tell them everyone.
I go get them.
No, you wouldn't go get them.
Run.
You would fly down that hill if you fell down. Getting those children out of danger because they're your children and you love them. Well, let me tell you something. If you think God's going to let you run around with Satan's crowd, you've got another thing coming because you're in danger when you're in Satan's crowd. And if you don't listen to him say, get out of the road, and you don't get out of the road, guess what he's going to do? He's going to run down the hill. And when he gets there, you ain't going to like him. Come on in, brother. When he gets there, you're not going to like him because he's not going to talk softly to you this time. He's going to grab you, bless God, and you're going to know that he got down there to get you out of that road. You're his child. He loves you. That's the difference. And Smyrna is finding that out here. They're finding out that they belong to God, and God knows their suffering, and God knows their persecutions. And this, he says, I'm going to read it to you. If I can get back over there. He says this. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And he says the same thing to each one in here that's his child. Don't you fear one thing that can come on you. You're his. You're his. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulation.
10 days.
You know, sometimes I do read some commentaries. I don't read them much, and I don't read much of them. But it was sort of striking to me. You know, some said, well, that's 10 literal days. Some said, well, no, that's symbolic of a period of time. 10 is the number of completion, and that's a complete period of time. And some said, well, no, it's 10 years. It's 10 years of under Domitian's rule in Rome, you know. I thought, well, no, God wouldn't confuse us like that. God wouldn't confuse these people like that. He said 10 days. This is going to happen for 10 days, he said. In Smyrna. Well, in 1922. See, y'all don't think I do my history, but I do. When I don't know, God has a way of taking me where I've never been before, and I've taught revelations ever since I can remember, and I've never got this in all my life about the 10 days. But in 1922, the Turkish was in a war with the Greeks called the Ottoman War. September the 13th to September the 22nd. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't go far. I got a math teacher here, and he's probably counting right now. But last time I checked, that's 10. For 10 days, the Christians in Smyrna, that was later changed to Izmir. That's what it's called today, folks. Izmir in Turkey, but it's still there. And they still Christians are. But in 1922, for 10 days, a quarter of a million were killed, tortured, and placed in prison for 10 days. While the ships of different countries sat out in the sea there and watched it happen and wouldn't lift a finger. Because in Mosul, y'all have heard of Mosul, haven't you? Huh? It's the history lesson, by the way. In Mosul, that's where's that located now? Thank you. In Iraq. What do they have in Mosul? What was all the fighting in Iraq over? What did Trump say he was going to go in and take over? The oil fields, bless God. They had oil. And because that was in 1922, that's when oil, man, it was coming on and men were getting filthy rich off of it because everything was changing to oil. And they wasn't going to upset nothing because they needed that oil. And they sat out there. Read it for yourself if you don't believe me. Go read it up for yourself. Sat there and watched as they ran to the beach and trying to get into a ship. And they were slain. And you could see bodies laying on the beach where they came and killed them. And they would take them and burn them alive. You say, Tom, that surely didn't happen. Well, let me remind you of something not too long ago. Where we'd see them over there. They'd put them in cages. You've seen that? When ISIS was over there, they'd put them in cages and they'd set the cage on fire. If that ain't the synagogue of Satan, bless God, there ain't one. Remember what he told them when they said, oh, our fathers of Abraham. He said, no, it's not. You're the children of Satan. Your father is the devil. And the lusts or desires of your father, you will do. Let me remind you something as I close. We're not in a battle, folks, of men. This war is between God and Satan. And you better find out what crowd you're in. Because there's only one comes out on the other side victorious. So then he says this to him. He says, if you'll be faithful. I've got to do this real quick now in 1 minute or less. He said, if you'll be faithful unto death. And I just told you how many of them were dying. He said, if you'll be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. Paul says, I'll go on and cut my neck off. He'll just give me a crown of righteousness when I get there. He says, I'll give you a crown of life. And then he says this, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh. Now, I told you last week what an overcomer is. What is an overcomer? An overcomer is he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's an overcomer. In other words, you're a child of God. Let me just put it that way. To him that overcometh, there shall be no hurt of the second death. Why did he say that to this church in Smyrna, Jimmy? Because they were dying. They were being killed. They were being martyred. A man named Polycarp, very quickly, a man named Polycarp, the first bishop of Smyrna, they came to get him. And they brought him and put him and they were going to tie him to a stake and burn him. He said, oh, you won't need to tie me. He said, the same God that brought me here will hold me safely in here. They said, they lit it up. And they said, but now before we light this up, he says, if you'll just deny the Lord, we'll let you live. He said, let me tell you something. 86 years have I known the Lord. He's done me no wrong. Why now would I deny my king? And they lit him up. And the tradition, come on in, I'm going to finish the story. And tradition says that when they lit the flame made an arc surround him. And he was in the center of it. And the flame wouldn't touch him. And they went over and took a sword and stuck it in him. And the blood came out of him and put the flame out. Let me tell you something. God will see you through it all.
That's right. Amen.
Just ask the three Hebrew children. You'll know. All right, I'm done. Goodbye.